AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
And that would be all of us here talking about Dr. Dean on Tri-Cities Talk Radio. And good morning, Dr. Dean Baird, officially from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program. How are you doing, sir?
I think I'm doing good. Does it follow logically that if it's normal that it's you and Alec, that it's now abnormal because it's you and me and Rebecca?
Yeah, I think that would be the case. So you have sussed that one out.
I know what the baseline is.
Okay. Very good. Welcome in, by the way, to you, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, sponsoring this portion of the program as they do every week. Well, it's colder. You're going to be talking about cold weather? What do we got today?
No, I'm not going to talk about
cold. Okay.
I'm going to talk about gastroesophageal reflux disease.
I'm glad he said it, Rebecca.
It sounds
which people
painful.
Have. Most people are
sure.
Very familiar with this.
That's
actually.
Right. Reflux, yeah.
Yeah, reflux of material from the stomach in the esophagus. It doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, and it causes heartburn and worse.
Yeah, it depends. There's
yeah.
a lot of variation in that. I think the majority of pet owners don't realize that dogs also get. This is a dog's thing today.
Okay.
Not cats.
All right.
D-Day. I'm not even sure about cats, but we know it's a problem in dogs. I got two patients right now that we're working pretty hard with it on trying to keep it under control, which is actually what brought it to the forefront for me to speak about it, because I know we haven't done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very common problem in people. Has a lot of different names.
Yeah, acid reflux.
Acid reflux.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's caused specifically in people by herniation of the cardia of the stomach up in the esophagus, which is called a hiatal hernia.
Yeah, okay.
And there are some mechanical things that can be involved in dogs as well. Actually, we most of the time don't really know whether a dog has one of those things, because you've got to do some sort of contrast radiography, or you've got to do an endoscope exam of the esophagus or something like that to find that information. And we're usually able to effectively treat it without having to do all that. Although the treatment can be long-term.
Right.
So let's go back and start with the basics. We're talking about the esophagus and the stomach, and hopefully everybody knows what those two things are.
Hopefully.
But they're more complicated than you might think when it comes to function.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is the structure of the esophagus and the stomach and the environment of them are both very different. The esophagus is made up of actually striated muscle that's really similar to skeletal muscle, which is unusual for the gastrointestinal tract, because pretty much everything else has smooth muscle. But it's made that way because the esophagus contracts and it makes food go on down to the stomach. Of course, gravity helps that.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity helps a lot more in us than it does in dogs, because they're horizontal, we're vertical.
Right, I understand.
But it still is a function of it. The second factor in that is that the esophagus has a very basic environment because of bicarbonate that's in the saliva, which keeps the pH neutral or maybe slightly alkaline, whereas the stomach has a low pH because of gastric acid,
mm-hmm.
because it begins the digestive process, and they have two different functions. The esophagus just moves food to the stomach, and the stomach actually begins digestion.
One's the tunnel, the other's the destination.
One's the reservoir.
Okay. We'll go
semi
with that.
Reservoir.
Okay, all right.
Doesn't stay there. It shouldn't stay there too long, but sometimes it does, which is a whole other issue.
We'll get to that.
Which can
someday.
Really contribute to this problem, as a matter of fact.
But
that sets us up for a problem, because you've got two organs that have different environments and different functions that are immediately adjacent to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a problem, which is the problem, with material that's in the stomach moving up in the esophagus, then whatever that material is going to include acid, and it's going to make the environment of the esophagus different, because it's usually not acidic, and it changes that in a way that makes it inflamed. It's not just that you can have acid go into the esophagus and that's abnormal. It's that it's abnormal and also changes the environment and actually damages potentially the esophagus, because the esophagus doesn't handle acid well at all.
Hmm.
It's not supposed to. It's not made that way.
You said it's basically neutral, right?
Basically neutral.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that it's that way because the animal like us is all the time swallowing, and saliva has bicarbonate in it, which helps keep the pH from being too low.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Now, if this happens and you get reflux, which is the word we're using to describe movement of stomach contents into the esophagus, because stomach contents should not go into the esophagus.
Right.
There are two specific physiologic exceptions to that are normal, I guess you'd call them normal, things that happen in animals that also happen in people, and those are vomiting and regurgitation.
Differentiate.
Well, I was going to ask a trivia question, see if y'all knew the difference. Obviously, you don't. Do you, Rebecca?
I will not state my thoughts.
She feels
I'm
very
not
strongly
sure.
Both ways.
That's it.
So the difference is that vomiting is an active process that requires movement of material being propelled from the stomach and sometimes actually from the duodenum, which is the very front portion of the small intestine, out of the stomach up through the esophagus,
right.
Meaning there has to be retching. And everybody knows what retching is because everybody's vomiting and everybody's retched when they're vomiting.
Yep.
I'm not a very good vomiter, and I don't enjoy it particularly, but it's the process. That's what happens.
Right.
The difference in regurgitation is regurgitation is a passive process. There is no retching. There's a problem in the animal or the person so that when food is swallowed, it just kind of gets to the stomach or partially to the stomach and just turns right around and comes back up.
Bounces out.
In a passive way without any active process causing it to happen.
Huh.
And there has to be diseased tissue in there for that to be. But it's an important distinction. It's an important distinction for us as veterinarians. Because sometimes we're trying to determine why a dog is vomiting, and when in reality it's not even vomiting in the first place. And there's a different set of things that cause regurgitation, and we're talking about one of them right now.
Okay.
Which is that the problem that occurs with reflux of acidic stomach contents in the esophagus can damage and change the environment of the esophagus enough to allow regurgitation to be something that happens freely, which it shouldn't really happen at all.
Right, understood. But
so it's one of those vicious cycle deals where when you get the problem with the free flux going from the stomach up in the esophagus and the esophagus becomes damaged. Now, that doesn't mean it's permanently damaged. Although, while we're talking about that, remember I said that the esophagus is made out of skeletal or striated muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's made that way, if it gets a lot of damage, it can heal. I use that word in quotation marks because it really is healing. Healing the damage that's there can heal by forming a stricture. Esophageal strictures are not rare in people. They're more rare in dogs and cats, and it's a good thing because they're almost impossible for us to deal with, at least in people. I know y'all may know people have had that, and they can use a balloon to open those things up
and make it
easier for them to be able to move down the esophagus. So depending on how bad the problem is, whether you're ever going to get to that point, for the purposes of our discussion, I'm not worried about a stricture because most cases of GERD don't get that bad, but the esophagus can become inflamed, and when it becomes inflamed, regurgitation is more likely.
Okay.
So how would you know if a dog's not regurgitating? You can probably tell that because something's coming back out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you know if they have gastroesophageal reflux?
Test for acid?
No, I mean from looking at the dog.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a question I don't expect you to know the answer to. It's tough.
We'll pass.
That's how they act and what they do. Frequently, they will salivate more than normal. Some of them will swallow frequently, and they'll even sometimes swallow like I think I swallow with a sore throat where you look like you're gulping because it's so hard to do because your throat hurts. And even it may not necessarily be that their throat hurts. Depends on how bad the reflux is. But that's what we'll see. They can regurgitate. We mentioned that. And that's a clue that something's wrong with the esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't mean it has to be GERD. They could have, there's a whole other process called megaesophagus where the esophagus gets dilated and doesn't do what it's supposed to.
GERD, acid reflux, same thing?
Gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Same thing.
The term you didn't want to remember.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. The gift that keeps on giving, Carl.
Thank you very much. GERD. I'm GERD in my loins now.
G-E-R-D, GERD.
Got it.
I figured it'd be easier to say GERD than say that whole term over.
You're right there.
So the behavior of a dog that's got this going on is kind of strange. They can act uncomfortable.
Mm.
That's a real hard term to pin down. But
you mean throat-wise?
Throat-wise.
Yeah.
We've been calling it GERPing. That's not even a word. It's just like they sit there and they keep trying to swallow and move their throat, and you think, this is just not right.
Talk about your family dialect
They shouldn't be doing that.
Gurping down
at the
clinic.
That is not a technical word.
It is now.
I guess we have created one, right?
That's right. That's right.
So this is not rare. It's not frequent, long term anyway.
Yeah.
A short term problem with reflux where a dog's acting funky for a day or two might not be such a big deal. But where they have it recur and where they have it frequently is not as common. But boy, it can really get them messed up, including to the point where if they're regurgitating a whole lot, they can aspirate the material that's regurgitated down the trachea and get aspiration pneumonia.
Wow.
So don't know that I've seen that necessarily from just GERD, but we worry about that a little bit and sometimes even put them on antibiotics if we're afraid, if they're coughing, we do, because we're afraid they may have aspirated some. So this can be a big deal. How much time we got?
Several minutes yet.
Several minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that there's a specific breed predisposition for it.
Yeah.
I think that dogs having reflux and it being a small temporary problem is probably not that unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And we do use some of the same medications that people use, in particular omeprazole, which is an acid. I think the famous brand name for that is Prilosec, I believe.
Okay, all right.
We also use sucralfate, which is that's a drug that actually coats the esophagus to help protect it from the acid.
Okay.
It can do the same thing in the stomach as well. But now, I'm not saying this for y'all to go out and get these medications because you got to make sure you know what's going on.
Right.
I'm just giving that information so you know how it can be handled if you've got a case to let you know that it's pretty much a medical problem,
mm-hmm.
not a surgical problem. And it can be really tedious to treat because it can take them a while to get resolved and stop doing the things they're doing and can recur.
Is there a standard treatment for this, or is it sort of a one-by-one?
I think it's a very individual case basis thing. I mentioned the two drugs I did because they're used,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes we use additional drugs. Sometimes we modify how they're fed. Don't necessarily modify their diet, but that is a possibility,
right.
depending on what they're already on. So, yeah, I think it really is kind of a customized to the dog thing.
Let's we got a minute and a half or so. Real quickly, let's put in the annual Thanksgiving plug about scraps around the table.
Yeah,
don't do it.
You need to put them in the trash. They don't need to be around the table.
You know what I mean.
And if they're on the floor, the dog needs to be somewhere else,
exactly.
Walked away. Does that about cover it?
That covers it pretty well. Just make sure that your pets are away from the food. Don't let your guests feed your pets surreptitiously, and especially kids.
Yeah,
any
handcuff
kind of,
your guests
greasy food
and put
especially.
A muzzle on them.
Okay, the children or the pets?
No, whichever adult is feeding the pet or child that's feeding the pet.
Yes, okay.
Or lock them in one room and lock the dog in another room.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
They need to be separated, though. They need to be sequestered from the meal.
Whatever works for you, do it and blame it on me.
Okay.
That's what we need to say.
Wow, there's one we'll hold on to.
Well, somebody to blame, right?
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to what you're feeding the pets, the veterinarian is the obvious person to blame. So I'm used to it. Just let it rip.
We don't blame you. We thank you for joining us every week. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. His clinic is at 4340 North Roan Street, right, in the Boones Creek community?
That's correct.
All right. And the open 6 days a week. The number to call if you'd like to talk to Dr. Dean or his staff or make an appointment.
6 days a week, but not this week. Only 5 days this
True.
Week. Is 282-3771.
Closed on Thanksgiving.
Closed on Thanksgiving.
All right. Dr. Dean, take care. We'll talk to you next week.